The Old Testament reading today is taken from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 15. O Lord, you know. Remember me and visit me and take vengeance for me on my persecutors. In your forbearance, take me not away. Know that for your sake I bear reproach. Your words were found and I ate them, and your words became to me a joy and the delight of my heart, for I am called by your name, O Lord, God of hosts. I did not sit in the company of revelers, nor did I rejoice. I sat alone, because your hand was upon me, for you had filled me with indignation. Why is my pain unceasing, my wound incurable, refusing to be healed? Will you be to me like a deceitful brook, like waters that fail? Therefore, thus says the Lord, if you return, I will restore you, and you shall stand before me. If you utter what is precious and not what is worthless, you shall be as my mouth. They shall turn to you, but you shall not turn to them. And I will make you to this people a fortified wall of bronze. They will fight against you, but they shall not prevail over you. For I am with you to save you and deliver you, declares the Lord. I will deliver you out of the hand of the wicked and redeem you from the grasp of the ruthless. This is the word of the Lord. Our epistle is taken from the book of Romans, chapter 12. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink, for by so doing you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is the word of the Lord.
The good news according to St. Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, far be it from you, Lord, this shall never happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man. Then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay each person according to what he has done. Truly I say to you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. In the name of Jesus, amen. As we continue working our way through Romans, we're into the middle part of Romans chapter 12. Last week, in case you weren't here, you missed it, or you're online and you want to hear again, we picked up with this new idea and that we are a part of one body. Beforehand, we were talking about being in one family, and that was very much about us feeling like we are a part of what God is doing, a part of his family that he had said from the beginning, I will be your God and you will be my people, and we're a part of that. Now this new idea then that Paul is working on is talking about how we are one body with Jesus Christ as the head, the one who we are following and the one who we serve and act together with. And we talked about how we get to serve with one another, and this is also why it's really important that people who have been hurt by the church in the past and say, you know, I'm going to follow Jesus, but I do it on my own. But the church needs them. The church needs all of us together. The church needs you as a part of this one body working together. God has a plan for you to serve within his church, to continue to serve and to share his mercy and love with the whole world. And now if we've been told already that we're supposed to be in this one body, serving together as one unit, when you put a group of people together long enough, I'm not naive enough to say that there will never be troubles. There will never be times where you might grind on each other. I grew up as an only child with some dogs, and the dogs didn't bother me too often, but it's fun to get to see the dynamics that play out in a larger family. Seeing that play out on a daily basis, it's different. Seeing that in a church for a long period of time when people serve together and sometimes maybe rub each other the wrong way, but still say, you know what, we're a part of the same body and we'll still serve together. Here we have, yeah, amen, thank you, that's a good one to say amen for. I appreciate that. Today we have Paul talking about that. You have Christ as the head of this church, not just this Christ the vine, but his church on earth. And we are to serve together in love, letting your love be genuine, right off the bat. Abhorring evil, what is evil, holding fast to what is good, love one another with brotherly affection. And we can jump right into a whole list of things that you should do this and this and this, but not this or this, rather you should do this, and it goes back and forth. And this would be one of my most legalistic sermons if I just went with all of that. If you are looking in Scripture for places where it says, here's how you should live and act and do things, this is not a half bad one to look at. Remember, though, all of this flows out of being a part of that one body with Christ as the head. Christ is the one who does all of this perfectly, who tells all of the other members of his body, this is my body, this is how you should do things. He is directing us to go and do things rightly and in the perfect way. Now, I find this to be true as I get older as well, that I tell my body to do something and it doesn't do it quite the way I wanted it to do. I can't quite run the same way or jump the same way. I'm looking at little jumps off of like ledges differently than I used to. I remember when I was helping out at a church as a DCE and we were putting stuff away after a vacation Bible school. Some of you might understand recently. And we had put stuff away in this container that was kind of on this elevated area, and I leapt down off of it. And after some of the other guys had kind of sat down and, you know, swung their legs over, and they saw me jump off of this ledge. They're like, oh, no! They're very worried for me. And they said, oh, you shouldn't do that. You're going to hurt your knees. Like, well, I got to do it while I can. Now, meanwhile, nowadays, I gingerly sit down and swing my legs over. We sometimes tell our body to do things and it doesn't quite react the way we want to. And that's how Christ is with his church. But he's not thinking to himself, man, I told my hand to do this thing and it didn't do it. Well, I might as well just chop it off then. That's not how he treats his body. It's not how he treats his church. And that's not how he wants you to be a part of his body, treating the other parts of it either. Work together in love and charity the way that our Savior has shown us. We're following in his footsteps. This fits nicely with our gospel reading today. In this gospel reading, we get to see Peter, who gets scolded by Jesus from Matthew 16, But then Jesus turns and talks to all of his disciples, and he talks about giving up your life. Whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. That means if you're trying to be an individual, if you're trying to say, I want to be myself, be a self-made man, well, you're going to lose your life. But if you seek to not be on your own, but rather a part of who I am, Jesus says, if you would give up your life and follow me, be a part of my body, you will not lose your life, you'll find it. You will find your life more rich and more full if you're a part of your life in the church, a part of Christ's body. This is another cool opportunity. Back in the same time, I would have worn this shirt about the same time I was leaping off of ledges. I used to wear, if you don't know this, I used to wear a lot of t-shirts that had like silly sayings or phrases on them, and such that people would give them to me as gifts, and then I had too many shirts to wear. You can picture the kid. I was like that one. I would walk around with one of my favorite shirts. It would be in the weekly rotation. It just said in big red letters, "Loser." And then it had underneath it in smaller letters, Matthew 16:25, because I thought I was really cool, you know, like, loser. And like, people said, did you lose a bet or something? Oh, no. I am deliberately and intentionally a loser. Okay. I don't think it had the same effect that I thought it did. But this idea that we would choose to say, you know what, daily, God, help me die to myself. I don't want to live for myself. I want to live as a part of your body. I want to live for you. God, create in me a clean heart and help me to actually walk with you. That's where we really find our life. And that's what Jesus is saying. Walk with this family. Walk with this body. Walk together, giving up your own frustration, giving up yourself, and supporting the other parts of the body. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. This is not the most common picture that we would normally have for our sermon, but having these two individuals sitting there on a bench, you know, they're not spring chickens leaping off of ledges. They're a little more seasoned. It is raining outside, and they're sitting on a bench, and they're not right next to each other. They're a little separated. The man's looking pretty grumpy about the rain, but he's like, I'll give you my umbrella anyway. And he holds the umbrella out over this woman so that she would not be soaked and drenched by this terrible downpour as he grumbly sits there. I'll get rained on, I guess. This is an image of saying, you know what? I'm supposed to live as this body. Jesus Christ is our head. I will live in a way that I want to support this person next to me. Sometimes it means putting yourself in the rain and saying, fine, I'll cover you with this umbrella. This is putting the other person first. This is loving your neighbor as yourself. This is loving a part of this body as you would love yourself. The man showed up with the umbrella. He knew it was going to rain. This woman is there sadly in the rain without the umbrella. Who knows what happened to it? He will say, I'll take care of you, and I'll put that out there, and I'll just get drenched instead. This is the image of how Christ's church is to work together, even if it means putting ourselves in a position where, fine, I'll be the one to get soaked. But I want to support my brother or sister in Christ. We serve together, following our Savior who did the same, and far worse than we would ever have to deal with. And we do this as his church so that it might be honorable in the sight of all people. Not that we would be honored in the sight of all people, but for the purpose of people seeing God's church and saying, that's something different. That is one body working together. That's a group of people who truly care about each other. Why do they care about each other? Well, because we know that Jesus cares about each of us equally. And then actually, Paul shifts it from there. He says, okay, if you're working together rightly as the body, in verse 18, if possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. So he takes it outside of the body here. As much as it would depend on you, if it's possible, do the same thing for the people around you that are not even part of the body yet. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. If members outside of the body should do something terrible to us, we are called not to avenge ourselves. The same God who brought us into the body and showed us his mercy and says, I want you to have mercy, says, you are not then the one to bring vengeance. I will do that. Rather than, well, how should we act? Well, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Wait, hold on. You just said be nice, but now I should throw burning coals on his head. That felt like one that I should spend a little bit of time with looking at before. We'll get to it, I promise. First, I want to give you a little bit of information, some background information about God's word. The Old Testament, we know, was written down in Hebrew to begin with. But following the Babylonian exile, God's people were no longer using Hebrew the same way. They were now mostly using Aramaic. And so as you're going from a Hebrew-speaking people into an Aramaic-speaking people, and then you have the scriptures come out in Hebrew, it's even worse than someone who's never seen the King James Version trying to read it out loud for the first time. It's difficult. And so they said, okay, well, we're going to start translating scripture into Aramaic. And one of the first ways they did this, they did it in something called Targum, not something you put on roofs on work party days, but it was called the Targum, this first study Bible, really. It was the first, like, translation study Bible. In the Targum, you could read God's word in Aramaic, and there would be study notes explaining things, because sometimes when you go from one language to another language, things just don't make sense the same way. And so we can see in the Targum a translation with an actual interpretation for us there, is to understand what was going on. This is really important for the book of Romans, because that verse I just read, for by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head, is actually a quote from Proverbs chapter 25. And actually, when Paul or anyone, Jesus does this all the time, when they quote scripture and they stop just before the end of something, it's because they want you to fill in the back half of it. If I show you a picture and I say a mouse with a little red skirt and I say Minnie, you're going to think mouse. If Paul says, you know, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. He's assuming that his readers will hear the rest of Proverbs 25, where it says, and the Lord will reward you. That's what it says immediately after. But even then, that doesn't sound right. I mean, we're talking about like losing ourselves. We're talking about serving other people and doing nice things just for the sake of being nice to them. So why would Paul be saying, well, I should heap burning coals on his head and then I'll get a reward from God. Yay. This is where the Targum comes in handy. I told you it was going to be important. The Targum, where it has Proverbs 25 translated into Aramaic, also has a study note that you will be rewarded with the person who you have been kind to. They will feel ashamed that you've been repaying their meanness with kindness. And the more you do this, the more that you act differently, the more you show them you have something different to offer. You have Jesus Christ who shows mercy to everyone, even the biggest sinners in the whole world. You have something different than what they have. Every time they meet you with anger or malice, every time they do something mean to you and you show kindness to them, it's that burning shame, almost like coals being heaped on them, that they say, oh, I've been awful. The goal being that they would turn in repentance to come and say they were sorry for the way they had treated you, that you could share with them why you've been merciful and kind, because you're just following Jesus who's done it for all of us. So do these nice things, for by so doing you will heap burning coals on his head, and the Lord will reward you with a new friend, a new family member, a new member of the body of Christ of which you're a part? The goal is not to bring vengeance and anger and frustration, but to show mercy that people might receive mercy and become a part of this family, this body. So we get in this final verse there, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Notice you're already in the position of being in the spot of good. Jesus Christ has given you a life of his goodness. Do not let evil overcome you and take you away from that. Remain in the body. Rather, overcome that evil with good. Send God's light out into the world that the darkness would be scattered. Send his mercy out into the world that anger, hatred, selfishness, pride would be replaced with being a good loser. Being someone who says, man, that mercy of God, that is far greater than anything else I could find anywhere else. Live together in this body of the church. Live at peace with one another, even when it's hard to be peaceful. Show love, even when it's hard to show love. In so doing, we're only pointing ourselves back to Jesus. In fact, don't just do it here at the church, do it outside the church too. Show his mercy and his love that other people might come to be a part of this same body. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. Great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. Now go in peace and serve the Lord.